Already they were dropping through like leaves blown from a tree, folding their wings tightly as they passed through each successive hole, opening them up between floors to regain control of their flight. Through the flurry of falling Quamja, he spotted R2's dome leaning cautiously over the edge, and caught an echo of the surprised and nervous twitter as the droid saw how much farther down Luke was now than the last time he'd looked. A twitter that turned into an electronic gasp as Luke reached out with the force to pick him up and drop him wheels first through the hole. Luke winced at the noise, but fortunately R2 quickly realized what was happening and quieted down before the sound of a descending electronic scream could give the whole thing away. Luke got the droid safely to the floor beside him, then stretched out again to the edge of the stone plug he'd left poking over the side of the first hole above. At this distance, it felt even heavier. But with alien warriors presumably even now fanning out toward the command center, he had great motivation for speed. 3 seconds later, the plug was securely back in place. 15 seconds after that, working his way down, he had all the rest of the holes sealed as well. "Mara's one more level down," he told R2, and the huddled group of Quamja stretching out with the force. All the aliens below were gone, and there hadn't been any changes in the overall mental state that would indicate they'd tumbled to his trick. Though oddly enough, he could no longer sense the assault teams themselves. Equipped with Issa Lamari, perhaps? Probably. But for the moment, those groups were too far away to worry him. "Stay close to me," he said, igniting the lightsaber and starting his final cut. "We'll try to keep this as quiet as we can for as long as we can."
"But if they discover us?"
Child of Winds asked anxiously. Luke frowned at him in mild surprise. He hadn't realized that the young Quam Kuei had come in with the Quamja. In fact, he'd intended to give instructions that the child stay behind with whoever had sealed up the hidden door. Clearly, it had slipped his mind. Just as clearly, it was too late to do anything about it now. "If the alarm goes up, you're to split up and create confusion," Luke told the aliens. "Draw them as far away from me as you can. Then find your own ways out of the fortress and head back home."
"We will obey,"
Splitter of Stone said, fluttering his wings.
"And try not to get hurt,"
Luke added, finishing the cut and lifting the stone disc out of the hole.
"Child of Winds, you stay with R2 and me."
He leaned down for a quick visual scan of the empty room below.
"All right," he said,
slipping his feet into the opening and bracing himself for another drop.
"Let's go."
From the hazy look he'd had of this floor before his contact with Mara had been cut off, it had seemed fairly well structured, with rooms and wide corridors instead of the random wall segments they'd encountered upstairs. Not exactly an ideal arrangement for quiet skulking. But for the first few minutes, it seemed to work. Luke led the way cautiously toward the blank spot that marked the cluster of Issa Lamari, splitting his attention between the area around him and the various warrior groups assembled near the slideways. Only half a dozen of the aliens wandered near enough to pose potential problems, and he was able to get his party past them unseen using force-created noises and other distractions. The warriors on the command center level were clearly the methodical types, and as Luke neared the Issa Lamari, he began to think he might actually be able to burst in on Mara and her captors unannounced. Han might have been that lucky. Luke, unfortunately, was not. They had nearly reached their goal when the illusion abruptly crumbled.
"They're on to us," he murmured.
"They know where we are?"
Flyer through Spikes asked.
"I don't know," Luke said,
stretching out to the force and trying to decipher the sudden turmoil in the emotions of the aliens around him. There was no way to tell whether the assault team had discovered the hole he had cut, or had simply found the level deserted and come to the logical conclusion. What he could tell was that whatever it was they had discovered, their consternation had spread rapidly to the rest of the group. Clearly they had a superb communication system in here, which meant that Mara's captors almost certainly also knew he was loose in the fortress. which meant he was out of time. "I'm going in," he told the Quamja tightly, easing an eye around the end of the corridor. Just to the right, on the far side of a cross corridor, he could see an unmarked door. At the far end of that room, as near as he could tell, were the Islamari. "R2, Child of Winds, come with me. The rest of you, scatter."
"We obey, Walker of Sky,"
Builder with Stones said, and with a multiple flutter of wings, they were off. "Stay behind me," Luke warned the droid in Quamque. And with a quick glance down the corridor, he launched himself at the door, igniting Mara's lightsaber as he ran. He grabbed the release lever, twisting it and pushing the door open in a single motion, and leaped inside, only to find that he had miscalculated. The room he was in was long and dimly lit, with most of the left half filled with stacks of crates, and no sign of Mara. But a second glance showed he hadn't miscalculated as badly as he thought. Laid out side by side, a group of Islamari on nutrient frames had been leaned against the back wall. R2 warbled questioningly. "She's in the next room over," Luke called over his shoulder as he raced toward the row of frames, a plan of action starting to take shape in his mind. Unless her interrogators were themselves Force-sensitive, they would have no way of knowing whether or not their protective barrier was still in place. If he could move enough of the Islamari out of the way to give Mara access to the Force again, the two of them together should be able to turn the tables on her captors and get her out of there. Skidding to a halt in front of one of the frames in the middle of the wall, feeling the sudden disconcerting silence in his mind, he stepped inside the meter-wide range of the creature's effect. He set the lightsaber down on the floor and lifted up the frame. Fortunately, given there was no way for him to enhance his muscular strength this close to an Islamir, the frame wasn't very heavy. He carried it a few steps away from the wall and propped it up against the nearest crate. Stepping back to the next one in line, he picked it up and crossed toward the first. With his Jedi senses blinded by the Islamari effect, R2's sudden squawk was his only warning. He looked up, dropping the frame and leaping backward, his hand instinctively stretching back toward the lightsaber on the floor. One of the blue-skinned aliens was crouching in a marksman's stance in the open doorway, another of the nutrient frames strapped to his back, his weapon up and tracking. Luke took another step backward, the Force suddenly flooding in around him again as he moved out of the Islamir's range. He felt the power tingling through his hand as he again called the lightsaber to him, wondering why it wasn't already in his hand. And with a burst of understanding, it belatedly hit him. He himself was clear of the Islamari effect, but the lightsaber wasn't. The alien's weapon was lined up on him now. "Do not move," he ordered in accented basic, his tone making it clear he was serious. R2 started to roll cautiously toward him, the glowing red eyes flicking warningly toward the droid. And with a screech that was half challenge and half pure terror, Child of Winds dropped from the ceiling to land in full taloned grip on the alien's gun arm. The weapon fired, a brilliant blue flash that went wide, slicing past Luke into one of the nutrient frames along the wall. Luke dived backward in the opposite direction toward the cover of the stacked crates, grabbing for his own lightsaber, still hanging from his belt, and yanking it clear. His momentum slammed him into one of the other frames, sending it crashing to the floor. And for one brief second, as he caromed off the wall and back toward the crates, he could feel Mara's presence again. The touch didn't last long, perhaps half a second before he bounced back into range of the two Islamari he had set down beside the crates. It was long enough. He could sense that she was all right, felt her own flash of relief that he was similarly unharmed, caught a sense of humans and aliens lined up along the wall in front of her. He had time for a single emotional instruction. "Stall!" before the contact was cut off again. Digging his feet into the floor, he ignited his lightsaber and charged past the frames, wondering if he would make it through to the other side of the bubble before the alien got his aim back. It was a close thing, and for a painful heartbeat, he thought Child of Winds' act of bravery was going to cost the Quamque his life. Instead of trying to wrench his winged assailant off his right arm, The alien had merely slammed his left hand into Child of Winds' throat in an attempt to stun him, then transferred his gun to that hand. For an instant, his first inclination seemed to be to use the weapon to kill the sharp-taloned nuisance clinging to him. But as he caught sight of Luke charging toward him with drawn lightsaber, he shifted his aim to the more threatening target and fired. But he was too late. Luke was past the last of the Islamari now, and with access to the Force again, there was no way a single gunman could penetrate his defenses. He sprinted forward, anticipating and sweeping his lightsaber across each of the alien shots with practiced ease. Still firing, the alien dodged to the right, crossing behind R2. Luke switched direction to match his movement, wondering if the alien was planning to duck down and use the droid as a shield. If so, he never got the chance. From midway down R2's body came the flash of an arc current, and with an abrupt jolt of twitching leg muscles, the alien stumbled off balance and fell heavily sideways to the floor, taking Child of Winds down with him. Luke leaped over R2, landing with one foot on the gun and feeling the sudden blindness again as he came within range of the Islamir backpack. The alien's glowing red eyes gazed up with an unreadable expression as Luke raised his lightsaber high and brought it sweeping down. Seeing his own death arcing down toward him, and then, midway through his slash, Luke closed down the blade, and instead of decapitating the alien, merely slammed the heavy metal of the handle across the back of his head. Without a sound, he collapsed limply to the floor, unconscious. "You all right?" Luke asked Child of Winds, helping pry the other's clenched feet off the gunman's arm. The points where the Quam Kwe's claws had been, he noticed, were oozing with slowly growing spots of red.
"I am unhurt,"
Child of Winds said shakily.
"Why did you protect his life?"
"Because there was no need to kill him," Luke answered, looking up at R2. The droid seemed a little shaky, too, but game as always as he retracted his arc welder back into its compartment. "Thanks for the assist, both of you. Come on, Mara needs us." Running back to the wall, he began grabbing the nutrient frames and hurling them away behind him, all thoughts of subtlety replaced now by a desperate need for speed. That quick kaleidoscope glimpse he'd had in Damara's mind had included the threat of drawn weapons. He threw three of the nutrient frames aside, risked taking the time to get rid of the one next to where Mara's lightsaber still lay on the floor, then stepped close to the wall, and realized with a surge of fear that he had cut it a little too close. Filtered through the emotional haze and clipped tactical thinking roiling together in Mara's mind, he could sense an indistinct, wavering image of the four aliens with their weapons pointed at her. Touching his forehead to the wall, he ran through his sensory enhancements. "Skywalker put me into the trance," he heard her voice faintly through the thick stone. "And he's not here. I could die of shock or bleed to death."
"You'll do neither," another voice said. "I know both the power and limitations of Chiss weaponry. Think of it as an added incentive for Skywalker to surrender to us."
Luke didn't wait any longer. Straightening up, he drew back his lightsaber, stretching out to the Force as he pointed the tip of the glowing green blade at the wall, agonizingly aware that he would have only one shot at this. But if the Force could guide him with the pinpoint precision necessary to block blaster bolts... And then, with a clarity that was startling in its unexpectedness, an image sprang into his mind. An alien standing with his back toward Luke, almost in front of him, raising a weapon toward Mara. Setting his teeth, Luke thrust his lightsaber through the wall to slash the green blade into the upper part of the alien's weapon. And on the far side of that wall, he sensed the neatly arranged little scene dissolve into chaos. Luke pulled the lightsaber downward, slicing an opening for himself as quickly as the stubborn black stone would permit. The emotional turmoil of sudden combat flooding over him as Mara exploded into action. He sensed a dizzying spin as she spun around and dropped into a crouch behind her chair, stretching out with the Force for her enemy's weapons. She yanked one straight out of its owner's hand, twisted another to the side to send his shot harmlessly into the ceiling, ducked back as another shot splattered across the corner of her chair back, sending tiny, agonizing drops of liquid metal grazing across her cheek. And then, Luke's section of wall collapsed with a thud into the chaos. He caught Mara's eye as he crouched behind the chair and threw his lightsaber to her, stretched out with the force to snatch hers from the floor behind him. And with the old weapon flashing memories of Tatooine and Hoth and Bespin through his mind, he strode into the midst of the fight, the blue-white blade spattering bolts of enemy fire and shattering across the weapons themselves. One of the aliens leaped at him, a knife flashing into his hand. Luke grabbed him bodily with the force and slammed him back against two others preparing for the same maneuver. "Stop!" an authoritative voice ordered. The aliens froze in their tracks, their eyes focused unblinkingly on Luke. Luke eyed them warily in return, his lightsaber held at the ready. Out of the corner of his eye, he got a glimpse of the speaker. A gray-haired man wearing an Imperial Admiral's uniform.
"There's no point in anyone throwing their lives away here,"
the Admiral said sternly.
"Let them go."
Luke stretched out toward him with the force, trying to gauge his sincerity. But both he and the other Imperial in the room were still being shielded by the remaining Isla Mari behind the side wall.
"Mara?"
Luke asked, risking a quick glance at her.
"What do you think?"
she said with a snort as she came to his side, the green blade of his lightsaber held crossways at the ready between her and the aliens.
"He's trying to save his own neck."
"Of course I am,"
the Admiral conceded without embarrassment.
"As I'm also attempting to protect the necks of my troops. If there's one thing Thrawn made certain his officers clearly understood, it was never to waste people for no reason."
He smiled.
"And it is well known that Jedi Master Luke Skywalker does not kill needlessly or in cold blood."
"He's also stalling,"
Mara added.
"They're probably setting up some kind of trap right now."
"Then we'd better get moving."
Luke nodded at the group. "You think we should take one of them as a hostage?" Mara hissed between her teeth.
"No,"
she said.
"Park is too old. He'd slow us down. And I don't trust any of these chiss not to be more trouble than they're worth. That goes double for General Fell."
Luke blinked, focusing his attention for the first time on the younger Imperial's face. "Baron Fell?"
"Yes. It's me, Luke,"
Fell confirmed.
"It's been a long time."
"Yes, it has," Luke murmured. "Baron Fell working for the Empire again?" Mara nudged him in the side.
"Let's save the Rogue Veterans reunion for another time, okay? We've got to get moving."
"Right," Luke said, stepping back toward the wall and the opening he'd cut.
"Do think about our offer, Mara,"
the Admiral called after them.
"I think you'll find our struggle out here to be the most vitally important challenge you could ever face."
"And you think about my warning,"
Mara countered.
"Stay away from Bastion."
The Admiral shook his head minutely.
"We'll do whatever we have to."
"Then so will I,"
Mara threatened.
"Don't say I didn't warn you."
Fell smiled at her.
"Take your best shot."
"Perhaps your fear of what the Empire might do with our information will be an added motivation for you to join us,"
Park added.
"At any rate, I'm certain we'll see you again."
"Right,"
Mara said.
"I'll look forward to it."
Chapter 29
Luke waited until Mara had ducked through the opening before backing out of the room himself.
"I believe this one's yours,"
he told her, shutting down her lightsaber and handing it across.
"Thanks,"
she said, taking it as she passed his back to him.
"Interesting grip yours has got. I think I like it better than mine."
"You can keep that in mind when you get around to making your own someday,"
Luke said, digging her sleeve blaster out of his jacket and tossing it to her.
"Here's your blaster. Watch out. Some of their people come equipped with Isilimir backpacks."
"I know,"
Mara said. She was at the door now, looking carefully out into the corridor.
Looks clear, but that won't last long. What's the plan? Back to the stairway?
Unfortunately, I had the Quam Ja lock it down, Luke told her, stepping into the doorway beside her as he threw a last glance back at the opening he'd cut. He'd have thought one of the aliens, the Chiss, Mara had called them, might try for a final shot, but they had apparently decided to stay put. Which meant Mara was right. They had something else planned. He looked down the corridor, stretching out with the Force as well.
Child of Winds, stay on top of R2, he told the Quam Kwe. I don't want you getting lost.
Or getting in the way, Mara added. So where are we going?
Before Luke could answer, R2 rolled out into the corridor, heading confidently off to the left with Child of Winds balanced precariously atop his dome.
I guess we're following R2, Luke said, setting off after them. He must have been able to download the floor plan like I asked him to.
That or he's looking for a recharger,
Mara muttered as she fell into step beside him.
How good are you at spotting individual Islamari?
Not as good as I am with groups of them, he conceded, stretching out with the Force.
He could sense the grim activity all around them as the Chiss mobilized for combat. The small empty space to their right was so subtle that he nearly missed it.
Watch out! He snapped to Mara, skidding to a halt and spinning to face that direction. Even as he brought his lightsaber up, a half-meter-square concealed wall panel popped open and a weapon poked out. Behind it, in the shadowy alcove, he caught a glimpse of glowing red eyes and the glint of a nutrient frame above them. From behind Luke came the flash of blaster fire, not targeted between the glowing eyes, as he might have expected, but above them. There was a sudden howl in his mind, and the zone of silence around the gunman abruptly vanished. There was a flash of blue as the alien weapon spat its fire toward Luke's chest. But too late. With the Islamir's bubble collapsed, Luke blocked the shot with ease. The gunman got off two more shots, also blocked, before the collapsing blue circles of a stun blast set him slumping out of sight to the floor of his guard alcove.
Oh, good,
Mara said, hefting her blaster and working the select switch.
The stun setting works on them.
That could be handy,
Luke agreed, glancing around with eyes and mind. There were no other threats he could detect, at least not in the immediate area.
Any reason in particular why you didn't kill him?
Hey, you're the one who wants me to start acting like a Jedi,
Mara retorted, starting down the corridor again. R2 had gotten a few meters ahead, and was twittering with nervous impatience as he swung his dome back around to look at them.
Problem is, the stun setting on this thing has about the range of a thrown bantha. If they're smart enough to keep their distance, you'll have to block their shots while I pick off the Islamari.
Right, Luke said, frowning as he picked up his pace.
There was something ominous growing behind the protection of Mara's mental barrier. A dark thought, or equally dark purpose. For a moment he considered asking her about it, but the fact that she was hiding it from him strongly suggested he should leave it alone.
Any idea what their plan is? He asked instead, as they caught up with R2.
Short term, to put us in deep storage for a few days, Mara said. They figure making us go into healing trances is the easiest way to do that, hence the gunfire.
Friendly sorts, Luke murmured.
Yeah, Mara agreed. Long term, they're waiting for Thrawn to return.
There was a momentary flicker in her emotions, a deepening of that hidden darkness.
And since they think he may have popped up at Bastion, Parks decided to head out there and talk to them.
Luke felt suddenly cold. And turn this place over to the Empire?
The place and everything in it, Mara said grimly. That may not be what they think they're going to do, but once the Empire knows they're here, they'll get hold of it, one way or another.
Ahead, R2 warbled and made a right turn into a cross corridor.
Where are we going?
Mara demanded as they followed.
I don't know, Luke said, frowning.
20 meters ahead, the corridor ended in a T-junction, and for some unknown reason, his mind flashed back to the Kavrilu Pirates asteroid base, and the very different T-junction at the far end of the Jedi trap they'd lured him into. Somewhere directly ahead, he could sense the blank area created by a group of Islamari. And then R2 twittered uncertainly and rolled to a stop, facing the wall blocking their corridor in obvious confusion.
R2, get back! Luke snapped, bringing up his lightsaber and taking a long step to put himself in front of Mara. It's a trap!
Directly ahead, the wall exploded into a shower of dazzling sparks and completely disintegrated. And standing shoulder to shoulder together in the corridor behind what was left of the false wall, a dozen Islamari-equipped Chiss opened fire. R2 squealed and swiveled around, racing back toward Luke as fast as he could, Child of Wind scrambling frantically to hang on. Luke barely noticed them, his whole attention focused ahead on the Chiss. He forced himself to relax, letting the Force guide his hands as it had in so many such battles, swinging his lightsaber into blocking position in front of each shot. But with the area around the Chiss closed to that subconscious prescience, a precious split second was being shaved off his normal preparation time. Behind him, Mara's blaster was flashing steadily over his shoulder, methodically picking off Islamari. If he could keep up their defense long enough for her to finish the job. Somewhere at the edge of his mind, he could hear Child of Wind screeching something, but he had no concentration to spare for a translation. Ahead, through the massed line of Chiss, he could see what appeared to be movement behind them. And then, without warning, they dropped in unison to one knee, revealing another line of troops that had come up behind them. And suddenly there were twice as many bolts blazing his direction. Bolts he was slowly but steadily losing the race to stay ahead of. Behind him, Mara barked something, and through his haze of concentration, Luke saw one of the standing aliens jerk back and collapse as Mara abandoned her non-killing policy. Luke clenched his teeth and leaned into his effort, dimly realizing that if Park sent a team in from behind them right now, he and Mara would be finished. Child of Wind screeched again. And then, sweeping in from both directions down the cross corridor ahead, a group of Quamja dove straight into the middle of the battle. The Chiss had no chance to react. Sweeping at full speed just over the heads of the standing warriors, the Quamja grabbed the tops of their nutrient frames, the momentum yanking the gunmen off their feet and slamming them hard onto their backs on the floor. Let's go! Luke heard himself shout, breaking into a cautious jog toward the remaining row of kneeling Chiss. If he could get close enough to get them in range of Mara's stun setting. Half a corridor away, the Quamja braked from their mad rush, swiveled around with impossible grace, and charged back at the kneeling gunmen from behind. Again, they grabbed the nutrient frames as they passed, pulling the frames and the attached Chiss sprawling onto their faces. Luke let his lightsaber come to a stop, arm muscles starting to tremble with adrenaline, and suddenly released tension. Mara had already sprinted past him, waving the Quamja aside as her blaster swept its rings of blue stunfire across downed Chiss. Even as Luke reached her side, the last of the gunmen twitched and stopped moving.
That was fun,
Mara gritted between clenched teeth, throwing a quick glance both directions down the corridor as she again worked her blaster's select switch.
I hope they haven't got many more of these little traps set up.
I don't think we've got too far to go, Luke said, looking at R2.
The little droid was already rolling down the cross corridor to their left, heading toward a large, heavy-looking door blocking off the end of the passage 15 meters away. A door, he noted, equipped with the same locking wheel and hand grip release system as those of the hidden stairway far behind them.
Splitter of Stones, get your people together and follow us.
He ran forward, closing down his lightsaber and clipping it onto his belt, reaching R2 as the droid slowed to a stop in front of the door. Turning the wheel, Luke squeezed the grips and pulled. The door swung ponderously open, letting in a rush of cool air.
Skies of red blood!
Keeper of Promises muttered in amazement.
What place is this?
Our way out, Luke told him,
feeling a touch of the same awe as he gazed across the view in front of them. Stretching away across the black stone floor, parked close together like troops on parade, were multiple rows of small starships, like the pair that had attacked him on his way to the planetary surface. Beside him, Mara whistled softly.
"The hangar didn't look this big from the outside," she said.
"It must stretch back farther than its roof indicated,"
Luke agreed, wondering how such a closely packed group of ships could ever be properly serviced. A glance upward gave him his answer. The entire area beneath the high ceiling was crammed with service, monitor, and fueling equipment, all held together by metal frames and a network of catwalks.
"There must be 100 of them here."
"At least," Mara agreed.
And as she spoke, Luke could sense that secret darkness deepen within her. It was about time he asked her about it.
There was a sudden flicker of sensation from behind him.
"Look out!" Mara snapped, spinning around and firing a pair of quick shots past his shoulder through the open door. Luke turned too, snatching up his lightsaber and igniting it. A handful of Chiss were in the intersection they'd just left, scrambling reflexively out of the way of Mara's shots.
"Keep firing," Luke told her, giving the door a quick look. There was no locking wheel on the hangar side, but there was a small hole where one had apparently been removed. Experimentally, he turned the wheel a few degrees. Through the hole, the central axle of the locking mechanism could be seen turning. Perfect. He turned the wheel back to full open again, and with a quick slash of his lightsaber, sliced it off flush with the door. Ducking under Mara's covering shots, he pushed the door closed.
"But it is still unlocked,"
Flyer through Spikes objected.
They can use the grip rocks to open it again."
"Not for long," Luke assured him. Crouching down, he gazed through the hole at the central axle and stretched out to the force. Without the wheel's leverage, it was much harder to turn, but the thought of armed Chiss descending on the hangar was more than enough incentive. 10 seconds later, the door was securely locked.
"That won't hold them for long," Mara warned. "If nothing else, they can head over the roof on foot and come in the other end."
"I know," Luke said, craning his neck to peer past the parked ships. She was right. As they'd guessed from their first look at the place, the whole front of the hangar was wide open, with only a slight overhang to protect it from rain or attack. The fortress's designers, he decided, must not have intended for their hangar to be packed this full.
"But it should slow them down long enough for us to borrow a ship and get out of here."
"Then all we have to worry about is whatever they've got in those towers," Mara said tartly, pushing past him and ducking between two of the ships.
"We'll have to take something from the front," she called back over her shoulder.
"I'll try to get one started. You make sure that door is secured. Then find a way to keep the rest of the front row from taking off after us."
"Got it," Luke said. "R2, take Child of Winds and follow Mara. Give her a hand figuring out the flight systems. Splitter of Stones, you and your people had better head out while you can. Thank you for your help."
"Our part is paid, Master Walker of Sky,"
the Quamja said, his tone just slightly ominous.
"It will now be your part to rid us of the threateners, as you promised."
With that, he and the others flapped away over the parked ships.
"We'll do our best," Luke murmured.
He double-checked the door, then took another moment to stretch his thoughts back into the corridor. It was empty. Apparently the Chiss knew better than to waste their time with the impenetrable stone, particularly with such an obvious alternative available. 30 seconds later, following the sound of R2's wheels across the black stone, he reached the front of the hangar. R2 and Child of Winds were there, the latter again scrabbling for balance on top of the droid as the dome swiveled back and forth. Luke looked along the front line of ships, noting a gap in the neat array where one was apparently missing. Mara, however, was nowhere to be seen.
"R2? Where's Mara?"
The droid warbled a negative, still looking around. Luke peered out into the dim sunlight and stretched out with the Force.
"What are you waiting for?" Mara demanded as she ran up from behind him. "We need these ships disabled."
"We were waiting for you," Luke told her, frowning. The dark secret still loomed in her mind, but there was something new to the texture now. All tinges of uncertainty or doubt had disappeared, replaced by a heavy cloud of deep and bitter sadness. Something vitally important had just happened.
"Well, don't!"
she growled, slapping a release panel on the side of the nearest ship. Above them, a hatchway swung open, and a ladder unfolded to the floor.
"One of the ships seems to be missing," Luke pointed out.
"I know. Park mentioned it was on its way in," Mara said, swinging herself up onto the ladder.
"Nothing we can do about that one. Go on, get busy."
She disappeared inside.
"Right,"
Luke murmured, reaching out with the Force to lift R2 up and into the hatch behind her. Then, stepping to the next ship in line, he ran a quick eye over it. The fighter was three times the size of an X-Wing, with a set of four TIE fighter solar panels melding into a disturbing flow of alien lines, and presumably with a set of repulsor lifts on the underside.
He ducked under the bow. There they were, one pair running longitudinally along each side of the center line, the subtle but distinctive diamond pattern of repulsor lifts.
Four quick slashes with his lightsaber, and they were no longer functional. Ducking around the landing gear, he moved on to the next ship. He had disabled seven of them, with another seven to go, when he caught the change in Mara's emotional texture. Slowly, with the slightly awkward movements that came of a pilot unfamiliar with her craft, the ship lifted half a meter off the floor and eased forward. His comlink beeped.
"We've got company!"
Mara's voice announced tightly. And as Luke concentrated, he could sense both wary Chiss mines and Issa Mari-created blank areas approaching over the rooftop.
"Snap it up! I'll try to keep them busy!"
And she did. The interior of the hangar was flickering with reflected light from the firefight by the time Luke finished disabling the last of the fighters. Soft blue flashes from the Chiss hand weapons, a sharper and brighter blue from Mara's ship.
"Ready!"
he thought toward her, sprinting across the line of disabled ships toward the end of the hangar opening where most of the brighter flashes seemed to be coming from. He reached it, eased a careful eye around the corner.
"Get ready,"
Mara's acknowledgement flowed into his mind. And with a sandstorm blast of backwash, the ship dropped past the overhang and bounced to a rough landing in front of him. Luke was ready. Even as the ship bounced up again, he was sprinting around its tail to its far side. The hatchway Mara had used earlier was standing open. Throwing Jedi strength into his leg muscles, Luke leaped upward, catching the door and pulling himself inside to land in an undignified sprawl on the deck.
"Go!"
he shouted, stretching out with the Force to pull the hatch closed. Mara needed no encouragement. Already the ship was jumping toward the sky, the roar of repulsor lifts not quite drowning the pinging of Chiss shots slapping into the underside and back.
"We safe?"
Child of Winds asked anxiously. He was pressed into the aftmost seat, his claws gripping the safety straps.
"I think so," Luke soothed him, listening to the fading pings of heat-stressed metal as Mara pulled for altitude. "All they seem to have is anti-personnel weapons down there, unless they can get their heavier stuff online quickly."
"Luke, get up here!"
Mara's taut voice called back from the flight deck. Luke scrambled to his feet, his mind reaching out to Mara's. The dark thought was still there, lurking in the back of her mind. But it had now been superseded by something else, a tangle and mixture he couldn't decipher. He dodged past R2, gurgling pensively in a droid alcove, and dropped into the co-pilot seat beside Mara.
"What is it?" he snapped.
"Look at the fortress,"
Mara told him, turning the ship into a slow rotation.
"What? The weapons towers?"
Luke asked, stretching out with the Force as he looked down at the structure, turning lazily into view out of the canopy.
He couldn't see or sense any indication they were preparing to fire. He glanced at Mara's board, searching for the sensor displays.
Forget the logistics and strategy for a minute, Mara said curtly. Look at the fortress! Just look at it!
Luke felt his forehead wrinkling as he gazed down through the canopy again. It was a fortress. Walls, a flat, roundish, angled roof with a hangar in the middle, four weapons towers following the curve of the roof and back, one intact tower farther down in front.
Look at it, Mara said again, very softly. And with a sudden shock, he saw it. Stars of Alderaan, he breathed. It's almost funny, isn't it?
Mara said, her voice sounding strange.
We automatically dismissed the whole idea that it could be some kind of superweapon. Thrawn never used superweapons, we all said. And yet that's exactly what it is. The only kind of superweapon someone like Thrawn ever used. The only kind he ever needed.
Luke thought about that galaxy hollow in the command center, and all the planets and resources Thrawn had gathered under his control. Enough to tip the balance of power in any direction its inheritors chose. Information, he said, a shiver running through him. Mara nodded.
Information.
Luke nodded back, gazing down at the fortress, now receding into the surrounding hills as Mara pulled the ship away again. The flat-roofed fortress with its four towers in back and one in front, stretching upward toward the sky, looking for all the world like four fingers and a thumb, reaching to pluck the stars from the sky. The Hand of Thrawn. Just under a kilometer away from the fortress, shielded from view by a craggy ridge, was a deep indentation in the cliff face. Mara maneuvered the ship carefully in beneath the overhang and eased it as far back against the wall as she could.
That's it,
she said, shutting down the repulsor lifts and feeling herself slump with fatigue and released tension. For the moment, at least, they were safe. For the moment. From the aft seat, Child of Wind said something, almost intelligibly this time, but Mara was too tired to even try to decipher it.
What did he say?
She asked. He asked what we're going to do now, Luke translated. A good question, actually.
Well, for right now, we're just going to sit here, Mara said,
running a critical eye over Luke's outfit. There were half a dozen new scorch marks where the Chiss's Cherrick shots had made it through his defenses, and she could sense his automatic and almost unconscious suppression of the pain.
Looks to me like you could use a few hours in a healing trance.
That can wait, Luke said, gazing through the canopy at the landscape beyond the overhang, fading into the growing darkness of evening. My damage to the repulsor lifts won't hold them for long. We have to get back in there before they can mount an aerial search for us.
Actually, I don't think they'll bother,
Mara said, waving at her control board.
For one thing, the sensors on these things seem to be pretty useless for close-order ground searches. My guess is that they'll move troops into the areas where they think we stashed our ships and leave it at that.
You don't think they'll worry we might get back inside?
And do what?
Luke frowned. What do you mean? Mara took a deep breath.
I mean, I'm not sure we should even try to interfere with what they're doing.
Child of Winds made a noise like a choked-off comment. Luke glanced back at him, then turned again to Mara.
But they're enemies of the New Republic, he said. Aren't they?
Mara shook her head.
I don't know. Just because they're in Imperial uniforms.
She sighed.
Look, Baron Fell was in there. The same Baron Fell who turned his back on the Empire years ago when he finally recognized how corrupt and vicious things had become under Izzard and some of Palpatine's other successors. Yet here he is, wearing an Imperial uniform again. Brain twisting is useless against a man like him. you'd ruin the fine combat edge that makes him useful to you in the first place. Something must have happened to legitimately change his mind.
Thrawn?
In a way, Mara said. Fel said Thrawn took him to the unknown regions and showed him around. And that was when he agreed to rejoin.
She could feel Luke's emotions darken. There's something out there, isn't there? He said quietly. Something terrible.
According to the Chiss, there are 100 terrible things out there, Mara said. Of course, that is only the Chiss talking. Odds are that a lot of the dangers would be pretty harmless to something with the size and resources of the New Republic. Threats we could swat without any trouble if they ever ventured past the Outer Rim.
She shrugged uncomfortably.
On the other hand...
On the other hand, Fel knows our resources as well as we do, Luke finished for her. And yet he's here. Mara nodded.
He and Park are both here, and neither of them seems to have any interest in wasting their resources and actions against the New Republic. That says a lot right there.
For a long minute, the ship was silent. Then Luke stirred. Unfortunately, there's still one more point we have to consider, he said. Bastion and the Empire. You said Park was going to open contact with them.
Yes,
Mara confirmed, the quiet ache within her deepening.
And I don't trust the current Imperial leadership to see things with the same long-term perspective that Fel does. You give them the hand of Thrawn, and they will move against Coruscant.
Luke gazed out the canopy again. We can't let that happen, he said quietly. Not with the New Republic and the state it's in.
Especially if those resources are needed to battle some other threat, Mara agreed, unstrapping her restraints. Which unfortunately means we have to get back in there and pull copies of that data for ourselves. At least then we'll have a chance of blocking whatever Bastion does to pull them in on the Imperial side.
She could sense Luke forcing the tiredness from his mind.
You're right, he said as he started unfastening his own straps. If we can get R2 to a computer jack so he can download everything...
Hold it,
Mara said, reaching over and putting a restraining hand on his arm.
I didn't mean right this minute. We're not going anywhere until you get those burns healed.
They're nothing,
Luke protested, glancing down across the scorch marks.
I can handle them.
Oh, bravely said,
Mara said, fatigue and her private pain adding an unintended note of scorn into her voice.
Let me rephrase that. I'm not going anywhere with you until you're healed. You're just barely able to keep ahead of that last attack. I don't want any of your attention wasted on old injuries you could have gotten rid of with a few hours' rest. Understand?
He glared at her, but behind the glare she could sense his grudging agreement.
All right, you win,
he said with a sigh, resettling himself into his seat.
But you wake me right away if anything happens. I'll set up the phrase, welcome back, to snap me out of it.
Mara nodded.
Got it.
And even if nothing happens, wake me up in 2 hours, he added, closing his eyes. It won't take them more than a few hours to get enough of the damaged ships out of the way to free up the ones in back. We'll need to get back there before then if we're going to stop Park from handing all this over to Bastion.
Without waiting for a reply, he took another deep breath and leaned back against the headrest. His thoughts and emotions cleared and faded, and he was gone.
Don't worry about Bastion,
Mara said softly.
I'll take care of it.
For a moment she sat there in the silence, gazing at his sleeping face, a tangle of emotions twisting through the darkness of her private agony. 10 years now they'd known each other, years that could have been filled with camaraderie and friendship, years Luke had effectively wasted with his own lonely and arrogantly stupid wanderings through completely unnecessary pain and doubt. She ran a fingertip gently across his forehead, brushing back a few loose strands of hair. And yet, after all that, Here they were together again. And the man she'd once so highly respected and cared for was finally back on his proper path. Or perhaps it was the two of them together who were on their proper path. Perhaps. Behind her came a tentative, questioning warble.
It's just a healing trance,
Mara assured the droid, pushing the last of her straps away and getting out of her seat.
He'll be all right. You watch over things in here, okay?
The droid twittered again, his tone suddenly suspicious.
I'm going outside,
Mara told him, making sure her sleeve blaster and lightsaber were secure.
Don't worry, I'll be back.
She slid past him, ignoring his sudden flurry of comments and questions, and popped the hatch. Child of Winds brushed past her as the ladder unfolded, chirping rapidly for a few seconds, and then flapping off into the deepening darkness. A darkness matched by the ache deep within her. For a moment she looked back at the top of Luke's head, visible over the chair's headrest, wondering if he had guessed her plan. But no. She'd carefully held it secret within her, behind the mental barriers Palpatine had so long ago taught her how to create. The old Luke, the one obsessed with solving every problem himself, might have forced his way in through those barriers to demand the truth. The new Luke, she knew, would never do such a thing. Later, probably, he would regret not having done so. But by then, it would be too late. The simple fact was that Park and the Chiss had to be prevented from giving the Empire the secrets of this place. And it was up to her to stop them. However she could, whatever the cost. The droid had run out of words and was watching her, his stance somehow reminding her of that of a frightened child.
Don't worry,
she soothed him quietly.
It'll be all right. Watch over him, okay?
The droid gave a forlorn moan of agreement. Stretching out with the Force, Mara turned and headed down the ladder.
However she could.
Whatever the cost.
Chapter 30 Even late at night, the Drevstara spaceport was a bustling hive of activity. The pedestrians and vehicles casting long shadows in the bright light of the glow lamps as they hurried about their business. The same bright light, Navit thought as he strode along, that would make the spaceport an ideal target for the warships orbiting high above them. He wondered if that same thought had occurred to the rest of the hurrying crowds. Perhaps that was one of the reasons they were hurrying. He reached the target zone and gave a soft whistle. It was answered immediately from a stack of shipping crates to his right. Stepping around the stack, he found Cliff waiting.
"Reports?" he murmured.
"We're set," Cliff murmured back. "She went in about an hour ago and shut things down. I shorted out one of the glow lamps to give us an approach."
Navit edged an eye around the crates for a cautious look. The old woman's side-on pacifier was squatting silently in its landing circle, with nothing but parking lights showing. A long strip of shadow thrown by another stack of crates led nearly to its sealed hatchway.
"Looks good," he said. "What about the new rep agents?"
"Well now, that's an interesting question," Cliff said. "I did a quick slice into the spaceport computer, and according to its records, they're gone."
Navit frowned.
"Gone? Now? Where?"
"No idea," Cliff said. "But I ran a global against both their registration and engine ID, and there's no indication they might have circled around and landed again. Not here or anywhere else on Bothawi."
"Interesting indeed,"
Navit murmured, stroking his chin as he gazed at the pacifier.
"Either we fooled them completely, or else they suddenly had something more urgent to do. Rogue squadrons attached to Bel Iblis these days, isn't it?"
Cliff nodded. "You think Bel Iblis is up to something?"
"That walking sack of annoyance is always up to something,"
Navit growled.
However, he's not our problem. We'll send word to Bastion and let them figure him out. Right now...
He slid his blaster out of its concealed sheath.
We've got our own sack of annoyance to deal with. Come on.
They slipped out into the concealing shadow and headed for the pacifier, eyes and ears alert for any sign of trouble. None came before they reached the ship, dropping into combat crouches on opposite sides of the hatchway.
Puppets!
Navit muttered. Blaster held ready as he tried to watch everywhere at once. Antilles could conceivably have sent in other new rep agents on his way out. There was the muffled clicking of Cliff's lock gym, followed by a soft hiss, and the top of the hatchway swung smoothly down to the permacrete, its inside surface forming a ramp. Giving the area one final scan, Navit rose from his crouch and ducked up the ramp into the ship. Inside was darkness, with only dim walk lights marking the corridors. He could hear Cliff's soft breathing behind him as he eased down toward the living section. Still no signs of life. The old woman must already be asleep. He eased to the first door in line, eased it open, and abruptly, all around them, the lights blazed on. Navit dropped instantly to a crouch, cursing under his breath as he blinked against the sudden glare. There was a bump against his shoulders as Cliff dropped into a mirror image crouch at his back.
No one here,
Cliff hissed from behind him.
Not here either, Navit said, frowning as his eyes finished adjusting to the light and realizing that what had seemed so bright when they came on were apparently only the normal shipboard lights. No gunmen, no automatic weapons, not even any eye-burning flash-flare defensive lights. What was going on?
Good evening, gentlemen.
A voice spoke up into the tense silence. The old woman's voice.
Cliff?
Navit hissed, looking around again. There was still no one visible in his direction.
Anyone?
No, I'm not here,
the voice assured him smugly.
I'm a recording. You wouldn't hurt an innocent little recording, would you?
She snorted.
Of course, considering who you are, maybe you would.
There, Cliff said, pointing. Half hidden behind a cable conduit was a small data pad with a recording rod sticking out of it.
You must think you're pretty hot stuff,
the woman continued.
Strutting around in plain sight, bamboozling the bumbling Bothans. Hey, that's kind of cute. And in general, running rings around everyone and everything.
Navit stepped over to the data pad. It was jammed into the space between the conduit and the wall, as if hurriedly slapped in there. On the other hand, it had been keyed to come on with the lights.
Well, I'm sorry to so rudely pop your bubble, she said. But you're not as smart as you think. Not nearly as smart as you think.
Navit caught Cliff's eye and nodded toward the sleeping rooms. Cliff nodded back and slipped down the corridor toward the farthest one. Putting his back to a wall, Navit leveled his blaster along the corridor, leading to the flight deck. This could still be nothing but a distraction.
You see, I talked to a couple of friends this afternoon,
the recording went on.
They tell me that every time they try to get a handle on this big, loud vengeance organization that's been making so much noise, it just kind of evaporates into nothing. Kind of like the bubble I just mentioned. Nothing but hot air. Hot air blown by, dare I say it, a handful of Imperial agents.
There was a flicker of movement at the corner of Navit's eye. He glanced over to see Cliff emerge from the sleeping room area and shake his head. He nodded in the direction of the cargo hold and lifted his eyebrows questioningly.
So I guess that means it's down to just you folks and me. My new rep friends have left, which you probably already know. And the vast organization you've been pretending to be doesn't exist. So, You and me should be fun.
Cliff was staring at Navit, a bewildered frown on his face.
What in blazes is she talking about? He hissed. Is she challenging us?
Navit shrugged.